Okay, let's pick our Bible and say something before we close. Can we stand up to pick a text from Genesis chapter 3? Let's honor the Lord. Genesis chapter 3, 1 verse 15. Okay, let me... Verse 14 and verse 15. Verse 14 and verse 15. The punishment. That is where the punishment was given for eating. Somebody say eat. There are some fruits we should eat and there are some that we should not eat. Eat only the one God said you should eat. There are some fruits that are forbidden. And Adam and Eve, they ate. When they should not eat. Until today, what God hates yesterday, he will hate it today. Don't eat the forbidden fruit. Tell your neighbor. Tell them again. You don't fear. Don't be afraid. Look. Look at face to face. Don't eat. Don't eat the forbidden fruit. Okay, if you don't fear the person, close your eyes, face the person and tell them, don't eat, don't eat. Hallelujah. Don't eat. If you eat it, oh, Okay. Verse 14. Genesis 3 verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this. What is that thing they did? They ate. Because you ate. And that thing they ate is not apple. It is not apple. Because some people may be hearing us for the first time. We are eating apple now. In fact, apple is my best fruit. And yet, I am not a fornicator. Don't eat. Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between the serpent and the woman, and between thy seed, the seed of the serpent. The serpent had a seed. And her seed, the seed of the woman also had her seed. Amen. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated and be very reverent. Amen. When you read the scripture like this, and God grants you understanding, and you see that this understanding you have is not granted to everybody, there is an excitement that comes within. There is a feeling that I have that makes me feel that I am special. Why? Because I know something somebody does not know. Do you understand? Look at it here. See how the Lord juggled that verse 15. First, he said, eat. Until today, doctors of divinity, they are still thinking that it is a literal food that was eaten. But see us here that didn't go to Bible school, school of theology. He, God, descended to our level and opened your eyes and said, my lie will not be apolo. See what it happened. Hey. But why didn't he make it loud and clear in the Bible? Why? Because this Bible is not for everybody. This Bible is not a literally walk. This Bible is not meant for you to go and sit down and get an award of a certificate from it. It's not an academic work. This Bible is encoded by God Himself. And unless He Himself decodes it for you as an individual, you will never know it. That's why I call Him the great encoder and the great decoder of the mystery of salvation. The mystery of salvation. That's what it is. Look at why I get so excited. Look at verse 15. Look at verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Serpent and the woman. And between thy seed and her seed. Now, academic people will think that the seed of the serpent will be snakes. Since it's a snake, so the seed of the serpent must be snakes crawling around. So he's saying, women, you will be having enmity with the snakes everywhere. And let me quickly tell you, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Serpent. Amen. There were snakes before serpent. While serpent was upright, serpent, praise God, there were snakes that were created, different species. God did not make that animal, serpent, to become a snake. No! He only made it to be one of the creeping animals. It's not snake, oh! So, serpent today is not a snake. He is among those animals that are crawling somewhere now. That's where he is. So maybe, if you read it now, amen. We have one of our brothers that preached a message recently. The one that claims that he has the mantle now of the leadership of the bride worldwide. Now he tried to trace the identity of the serpent. And to him, he is able to look at all the various species of snake. And he came by some conclusion that the serpent, the true identity of the serpent, is the anaconda. Boa contrition. Boa. That species of snake called boa, the boa contrition. The reason is, he looked at certain features that snake has that resemble that of a human being. And he concluded that it must be the one. Well, thank God for that well-researched work. I thank God for it. And the members of his church and the followership, they are rejoicing and say, you see, he's the only one that has ever got that revelation. That's why he's the one fulfilling John. Amen. And they were trying to make noise over it. And I met one of them somewhere and we were talking. I said, why are you making so much noise about the fact that your pastor said that the serpent is that a boa? I said, my knowledge of it, how has it affected my salvation? So before you begin to fuse yourself about some great revelation, you must trace it and see some virtue, something inside of it that will help you to be a better Christian. If not, stop making noise. You'll just be head knowledge. But one thing I know is that God Himself decided to make that animal so unimportant because of what he did until he has hidden the identity. And there are some characters in the Bible too that God so hated until he makes them very, very unimportant. Like if you look at the scripture about the king's redeemer, the book of Ruth, the man that was supposed to redeem Ruth. Eh? You know his name is not written there. When Boaz was to refer to him, to call him to come, because he was the rightful person to redeem that woman, all he called him and said, "Hey ho! Hey there ho! Hey ho!" Useless man. The man refused. "I will not do it." God knew it, so he made sure the name is not even mentioned. But whatever it is, amen. Whatever it is, just for interest, of course, we would like to know, out of curiosity, which is the animal. And let me tell you something, praise the Lord. The animal, the crawling beast that will be referred to, that is the species of that serpent right from the beginning, praise the Lord. I believe it with the whole of my heart. I believe it with the whole of my heart that that particular animal, if we are going to know it, we will have to know it not by some permutations. Not by some permutations. Not by some logic. Since this one has this, it must be the one. Like the way God will reveal it. Praise the Lord. Look, the doctrine of the serpent seed, when it was time to reveal that doctrine, God waited until he raised up a man, and then God gave William Branham, it was a vision that he saw the animal, how it looked like. He alone had the privilege in this age and all ages at all to see how that animal looked like. In a vision, God showed him the serpent. Amen. And before he will do that, there are some monumental things, doctrines, that God, when he wants to release, before he will release it, he will make sure it is not just commonized, somebody from nowhere, no come. It will be something that he will vindicate. Point attention. Raise up the man. With all vindication, so that when he releases it, you will not doubt that this is God. And that's exactly what he did. Yes, snakes are referred to as serpents. Amen. Snakes are referred to as serpents, but we know who the serpent is. Serpent was not, because snakes, they are not cursed. And snakes existed before serpent went to join them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, I need to say that because verse 15, when he said, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed." So serpent had, amen, serpent had a seed, and the woman also had a seed. Now, with that setting at that time, you will discover that something is happening there. There is the serpent seed, there is the seed of the woman. You will expect that they will all be there in that setting as he was speaking. But the seed of the woman was not going to come forth until after almost 6,000 years. And also, the seed also of the serpent, the seed of the serpent, praise the Lord, began from the Garden of Eden physically, but it was also going to move spiritual. So that when you see the Lord Jesus Christ use that terminology, John the Baptist also used that terminology, when he told those religious people that are supposed to be religious, yes, they are looking for true children of God to kill them. Cain was religious. Abel was religious. They were all going to offer sacrifices for their sin. One was accepted, one was rejected. And in that same religious spirit, he killed Abel, the brother. So I want you to note, they are all very religious. Cain was religious. Who were those that crucified Jesus Christ? William Branham picked that scripture and he made a title of that message. He said, "There they crucified him." That was the title of the message. "There they crucified him. There they crucified him. There, where? In the most holy city. They, the most holy people, crucified the most shameful form of death. Him, the most holy person. In the most holy city, the most holy people gave the most cruel death to the most holy human being." And it's always like that. That's why William Branham said, "Elect cannot persecute elect." How can we be holding Bible and yet fight one another? Break it down. Even to relationship among us. Take the same communion, the same bread, the same wine, the same blood of Jesus, the same name of Jesus, the same God, and yet you will see another brother with the Bible in the hand setting trap for another brother with Bible in the hand to fall, and you'll be happy that you fall. Certainly one of them is a serpent seed. Certainly, certainly, certainly now. They are all religious. It is deep. Salvation is deep. There were inter-message churches that were rejoicing when this church was demolished. Holding the same message of the prophets. But like Cain, why did Cain kill Abel? It was jealousy. It's jealousy. Jealousy. No seed of God has jealousy in him. None. None. If you have, check it out. It's not from God. None. 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 Do you know why I say none? Because the Spirit of Christ makes you a Christian. Am I correct? Now, the Spirit of Christ is a sacrificial spirit. It's a sacrificial spirit. And it is a spirit of love. And it's a spirit of love. And love is sacrificial. Love is sacrificial. You don't show love out of abundance. You show love even out of nothing. Amen. And love makes you to forgive. Love covered the multitude of sin. Love will make you not to even see the weaknesses of your brother. Love, 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 love. Praise the Lord. Therefore, love makes you to rejoice when your brother or your sister is prospering. Love will not make you to be jealous when all of a sudden now, Pastor Francis, Pastor Thomas, He knows to preach more than me. He's done the come up. Then I'm the pastor. Sit down there. Before I know what now, everybody go, you shall be past me. Let me be pastor. And it happens in churches. Another prophet is prophesying. One prophet is prophesying. Another one will sit down and say, "May you not be say all attention, will come fire. Will come go. I'll allow you. If I sit down like this guy will pass me. I'll allow you." See, the Bible says we should provoke ourselves unto good works, but not from jealousy. Not from jealousy. If I see you fast 3 days dry fasting, and I'm not able to fast up to 12 o'clock, and I hear your testimony, it will provoke me. Ha! If you can do it, me too, I can do it. Now, that is provoking you into good works. Eh? All you had, you gave it to that brother. Hey, me. Ha. Hey, can I sit down here? This one they give me, I know they give. You have provoked somebody unto good works. Praise the Lord. The seed of the woman. The seed seed of the woman was a prophecy that was to come. We are looking at the divine agenda. And the aspect of the divine agenda we are looking at today is the purpose of the seed of the woman. Now in four areas. Let's get that and close for today. Amen. Number one, it was for a new creation. That is the purpose of the seed of the woman. And that seed of the woman, I hope we know, Galatians chapter 4 verse 4 says, is Christ Jesus. So right from the Garden of Eden, the provision for Christ was announced. Divine agenda. The purpose is for a new creation. Amen. Let's read some scriptures. Colossians chapter 1. Chapter 1. Amen. Concerning Jesus Christ, verse 17 and verse 18 says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. My emphasis is verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Go to, again, Revelation chapter 1. Revelation, we are looking at the purpose of the seed of the woman. And that seed of the woman is Jesus Christ. Verse 5, the introduction. And from Jesus Christ, Revelation 1 verse 5, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. That is my emphasis. Jesus Christ is the first begotten of the dead. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 45 refers to him as the last Adam. He's referred to as the last Adam. And we want to look at Romans chapter 5. Romans, there's a way Apostle Paul caught it and presented it. Apostle Paul was the most revelated of all the disciples. All those apostles. He went deep. He went very, very deep. Chapter 5. This is the way he put it in verse 14. Yes. He says, nevertheless, are we there? He said, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Who, that Adam, who is the figure of him that was to come? And that scripture alone, I was meditating to really get the impact of that. That the first Adam was the similitude of him that was to come. And who is he that is to come? Is Jesus. So that you will catch a mystery here that lets you understand that the whole process of salvation is not something that come up as an accident that brought a destruction, that God quickly went back to his thinking room and then began to think again on how to put the pieces together. He said, Adam was a similitude of him that is to come. That means Christ already. Remember, church, God is an eternal being. And if he's an eternal being, he cannot die. He has no ending of days. Angels don't die. Do you understand? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We are to bring forth after our kind. And if he says, let us make man in our own image, I want you to know, if God is eternal, then human beings too, his own children that he will create, will be eternal. If God cannot die, his children cannot die. But here you see, he made Adam and put something around him that will cause him to fall and die. But Apostle Paul caught it. He said Adam was a similitude of him that was to come. God has decided from the foundation of the world to have eternal children on earth here. But before the eternal children will come, he decided to go to the laboratory and use a similitude. And he created Adam. And so that you understand the terminologies. So God created Adam with the intention to fall. Praise God. That's very deep, isn't it? And to make sure he fall, he brought a woman. He did not create the woman the way he created the man. And some people use the terminology byproduct. Removed from an original. Praise the Lord. Woman means part of man, from a man. Amen. And to make sure, he put that animal very close to her. God staged that. I said God staged it. God staged us to be in the estate that we are in now. God staged it. You say, how can? I preach a message that I titled Deceived by God. And some people, when they hear the title, they say, Kai, what is this man want to talk? God cannot deceive anybody. But God deceives. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Hallelujah. He said, if a prophet be deceived, he said, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet. I've showed all the scriptures and the purpose. Why he allows it to happen. You need to have this depth of revelation so that you will know how to walk with this God. But above all, when you look at this and you see where he, in his infinite mercy and his grace, where he has placed you on the good side, not on the destructive side, something inside of you gives you excitement and gives you a reason to worship and serve him. Because, not because you have done anything better than anyone that is going to hell now. He proposed it like that. So God made Adam to fall. Why? Because, hallelujah. Now, he referred to Jesus Christ, is referred to as the first begotten from the dead. And that's why people don't even know why Jesus Christ had to die. He had to die because all man had been condemned to death. Jesus Christ came also to be among the children of God that died, but among those who will first be produced from the dead, he was the one that resurrected from the dead. He became the first. Now, like Adam was first formed, praise the Lord, then he gave him his wife. Remember, he said Adam is a similitude of him that is to come. Adam was first formed before the wife was made. And the same thing also, Jesus Christ is referred to as the last Adam. Why? The first creation of God, man, he fell. Adam fell. And now, there has to be a new creation. And that creation must start again from Adam. Another Adam. And Jesus Christ is that Adam. And he's referred to as the last, because after him there will be no more form. No more form. No more form. No more form. Praise the Lord. Now watch it. Adam was put to sleep. And from his side, his wife was brought forth. A similitude of he that is to come. And people didn't understand the process by which God gave Christ his own wife. He hung on the cross on Calvary. And the process of birth was demonstrated on the cross on Calvary. When they took that spear, that Roman soldier, and pierced his side, hanging on the cross there, the first thing that came out was what? Water. And what happened again? Blood. Amen. Hallelujah. He was given birth from there. Something was happening because it was after that he gave up the ghost, right? Praise the Lord. It was something that was released. It was you and I that we are released from that side. The new birth. The new birth. There's the new birth. A similitude of him that is to come. The church is God's Eve to Jesus Christ. The wife of Jesus Christ. Produced by God himself. It's God himself that gave Jesus Christ his wife. Through that process, blessed be the name of the Lord. By this water, hypertension, diabetes, ulcer, cancer, HIV, AIDS, cough, chest problem is over in the name of Jesus. I declare this water a hormonal drug in the name of Jesus. I declare this water the medicine of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's a figurative. And the bride of Jesus Christ, praise the Lord, was foretold right from the Old Testament. The picture began to be formed. God, watching as something he has proposed to do in future, but began to use carnal things to demonstrate it. Begin to use some people to demonstrate it. Jesus Christ, remember, praise the Lord. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, that all the laws, all those ordinances in the Old Testament, he said they are what? They are a shadow of things to come. Every law you see in the Old Testament was speaking of something that concerns Christ and the church. And that's why these Sadducees and these Pharisees and these Jews, till today, whose eyes have not been opened, they cannot understand. They are still in the temple there and doing sacrifices and making offerings, and then they are still, you know, still following the law when Jesus Christ came to end the law. He came to fulfill the law. Apostle Paul says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Before God, no other righteousness is accepted anywhere outside of Christ. The only place he accepts any sacrifice is in that place where he has chosen to place his name there. And where has he placed his name? On a man that was brought forth through a virgin birth. That's why I say, all this worldly music they sing, and they add Jesus into it. Amen. And people think that they are Christian songs. They are not Christian songs. They are not Christian songs. The reason is because they are not singing those songs in Christ. You are not in Christ. Any sacrifice you offer is not accepted. When they sing there, go and look at some of this musical channel. One gospel. Some of you have DSTV. 1G, one gospel. And they look at, anyway, I have a message, I will address them later. All these people messing up Christianity. They are not Christians, so. It's the invasion of Christianity by the world. Nothing more. Shamelessly, they will stand at the altar. And just, we are just clad themselves, stand there naked, and they are singing, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Serpent seeds. Amen. A man will go and plant his ear and wear double earring in the ear. And say, the day when I became born again, and then he's singing and he's in the spirit. And people who don't know the spirit of God, they will follow him and enter that spirit. Praise the Lord. That's why the Jews miss it. Now, you will see something. Let's just pick a few of them. A few of them that may give us this picture. You will notice that in the Old Testament, the high priests, I don't know if I remember that scripture. It's Leviticus chapter 21, verse 13. It says that the high priest, you can only marry a virgin. You can only marry a virgin or the widow of a priest. The wife of a priest. Amen. That is dead. The high priest may marry her. But if you are going to marry at all, the high priest must only marry a virgin. And that is exactly the spiritual situation, the church that we go in, the bride in the rapture, the bride of Jesus Christ, must be a virgin church. What do you mean by virgin? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Virgin in the sense that you are not polluted, invaded, corrupted by all these false serpental antichrist doctrines. There is a law again in Matthew chapter 19 that says that you cannot put away your wife except it be for fornication. There's a reason why that law was given. And it's still applicable now. That if you catch your wife in fornication, you are free, according to the law, to put her away. That is why William Branham, under thought, said the law years back. He said that Ichabod is written against the denominations. Why? Denominational man-made doctrines have been mingled with the sound doctrine, apostolic doctrine. Denominational churches have married the world. That marriage with the world, God sees it as spiritual fornication. And they have allowed the world to come in and marry her. Everything you see, worldliness is in the church and is promoted. If God has therefore spewed them out of his mouth. That's why God is no more in any denominational setting. I saw something in the newspaper yesterday. My heart ached me. A university that is supposed to be a Christian university, a very popular university in Nigeria, that when they started, they made their members who contributed the money to see that it is supposed to be a Christian university so that we have a place that we can send our children that they can learn some Christian tenets and go away from all these occult infested public universities. And all of a sudden I read a young man, 19 years old, university student, in an annual program they hold in that school for fashion design. And he won the prize. And I was looking at it. They organized a fashion. No Christian fashion. And the man won and he got 100,000 naira prize. In a Christian university. People cannot see something. No wonder. In that same school, I read in the newspaper again how that they posted a picture of some young girls in that same university. And they said on YouTube or something like that. Naked. They were dancing naked. In a Christian university, they recorded themselves dancing naked and pasted it in the internet. Women. Even heaven is saying amen to what I'm saying. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I will rush through it just for you to get the picture. The story of Esther is a story of salvation. King Ahasuerus, who he represented, and Queen Vashti, who she represented. And we know the story of how eventually Esther, a slave girl, how eventually she became the queen to replace Vashti, the Jews. Esther is a type of the Gentile church. After Vashti was rejected, Israel was rejected. We took the position of the Jews. All that is a story of redemption through Christ Jesus. The story of Jacob blessing the two sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. Manasseh was the senior. The right hand was supposed to go upon Manasseh. But Ephraim, the junior, the right hand went cross from Manasseh like that. Amen. And we didn't understand what. He didn't say more than that. Joseph was protesting. No, you have taken the blessing of the senior one and given it to the junior one. And Jacob said, leave it like that. It's God that directed my hand like that. No other explanation until we come to Galatians. Let's open Galatians. Chapter 3. Amen. Verse 13 and verse 14. This is the way he put it. He said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, curse is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. By the way of the cross, salvation crossed over from Israel to the Gentiles. So the story of those two children, Jacob and those two children, is a story of the church. I'm just using it to make you understand the similitude of him that is to come. The emphasis of the whole Old Testament stories is on Christ and the church. We're looking at the purpose of the seed of the woman. And another one is Abraham sending Eliezer to go and get a wife for Isaac. Abraham there is a type of God, the Father. Isaac is a type of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And Eliezer is a type of the Holy Ghost walking through the seven church age messengers. Eliezer. To go and get a bride, Rebecca, for the son, Isaac. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we see the two, you know, popular mysteries, like I spoke earlier, the mystery of iniquity and the mystery of godliness. All this is a type of Eve. What is the mystery we see there? We have one woman, Eve. But from her womb, remember, she was a woman. But later on, she was changed to who? Eve. Meaning what? The mother of all living. Adam's name was not changed. Because Adam is not the father of all living. The womb of Eve was the point of interest. The purpose of Eve was for her womb, for the purpose of the man, Adam, planting his seed in the womb to produce more Adams. And the same thing, Eve, Satan too was interested in that same womb. As Adam planted his seed there, the animal also, under inspiration by Satan, went also to plant his own seed in the same womb. He didn't go to get another womb. The same womb that God is interested in is the same womb that Satan was also interested in. That's why I say, people are looking for the address of Lucifer. And they are talking about testimony of cloud 999. What did they call it? 999, 666. Level 666, 999. Those of us who know our Bible, anytime they are telling that story, I'm going to laugh. I say, to start with, Satan is the father of lies. And then they say, the remaining two steps so that they will meet Lucifer face to face. So they'll be promoting them, unknown to them. We are already seeing Lucifer here, face to face. The address of Lucifer, he's not under the ocean. The address of Lucifer, I am telling you something, and it is the truth. People don't know. Hallelujah. Where there is light, that is where Satan is interested in. As soon as Jesus Christ started, was anointed, and there was an announcement from above, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." Satan's attention, wherever he was walking before, he changed address to follow him. And he has been following him since that time till today. That's why Jesus Christ said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail." And Satan is the one in charge of this assignment himself. Where is Satan now dwelling? He's in the church of Jesus Christ. That is the address of Lucifer. Don't look for him anywhere. Anything happen anywhere, there are small generals in the army of Satan. I just wish somebody will understand this. When the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness, where? High places. Where are we fighting that war? In the church. It's not in your village, it's not in any shrine. It's in the church. What is the assignment? The assignment is to make sure he diverts you away from your destiny. If thou be the Son of God, turn this bread to stone, these stones to bread. If you say you are. He knows what he wanted to achieve. See, in my message about the doctrine of the serpent seed, I say, listen, serpent did not know the implication of what he was doing. Serpent only thought he was going to have sex for pleasure. But the spirit that was pushing him had an agenda. When you go to sleep with a woman, all the spirit that is pushing, because, church, listen, if you have any insatiable desire for sex, until you cannot control yourself, you now know that it is not normal. There is a spirit that is pushing you. Now, don't brag about it and say you have high libido. No, you have high demons. No, because it is not normal. A normal human being has his desire only to his wife. If it goes beyond that, a spirit has taken over. Now, why is that spirit doing that? After all, the spirit will not enjoy what you are going to enjoy. When you sleep with a woman, you feel good. It's not the spirit that will feel good, because it satisfies the flesh. Now, there is something he is leading you to, and you don't know it. There is something he's leading you to. When you sleep with that woman for 5 minutes, he has taken away something that may cost you the rest of your life. That is what happened to serpent. Serpent did not answer anything. They asked Adam. Adam said, "Now this woman, oh, what you give me?" They asked the woman. He said, "Now this serpent, oh, did God ask serpent?" He immediately turned to serpent. Judgment straight. Why judgment straight? Because serpent had no answer. He has no answer. Does he have answer? When you sleep with somebody's wife, what will you say? "Na Satan cause I'm on a devil." Oh, when the husband catch you, say, "Please, don't kill me, na devil. Na devil, I will never do it again. Na devil, I will never do it again. Na devil," you have no reason. There is no fornicator that has a reason to fornicate. Brother, listen to me again. Anytime there is an urge for you to keep sleeping with women that you have not married, take note of this. It is a demon that has possessed you. And always is after your progress. And the more, the higher your libido is until you're fornicating up and down, it is also evidence that you have a bright future. And that is why the enemy wants to make sure you live a deprived life. And people don't know it. God did not create the sexual organs for pleasure. That's not the purpose. Satan perverted it. And it's worse when married men and women will leave their husband and wife at home and go and begin to meet some other partner outside. You know your own case is serious. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's the mystery of iniquity. And that womb of Eve is a type of the church. The church is referred to as a woman. There are three women in the church, in the Bible, symbolic women. The first one is in Revelation chapter 12, that is Israel. The second woman, symbolic woman, is Revelation chapter 17. And that is the Catholic Church. It's referred to as a harlot and a mother of harlots. Because it gave birth to other daughters. The denominational daughters. Praise the Lord. When the time comes, I will play a video of the Pope of Rome that is in a Pentecostal gathering. Gather all of them, appealing to all of them to come back home. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yes, now, the church. The same thing that happened in the Garden of Eden is the same thing Jesus Christ was demonstrating in Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the wheat and tares. The owner of the farm, the husband of the church, planted good seed, Abel. While men slept, the enemy went and planted tares. So after some time, both the good and the bad in the same womb, the church. And that is the composition of the church today. These two seeds are still in the church. When I say the church of Jesus, I'm not looking at the local assembly. I'm looking at the body of Jesus Christ. It's supposed to be one body. But see what the church has turned into. And how do you know it? We have the pattern in the Bible. Look at the Acts of Apostles. Look at all the epistles. Look at all the doctrines. And see what is going on in the churches today. If there is any resemblance to what is in this Bible, the apostolic faith. So that you'll understand why God also reserved a ministry for restoration. before the rapture,
he will send Elijah the prophet. And God has a built where manifested to his bride in this last age. We have caught the revelation by the last prophet. And we know who we are and what we are raised up for. Praise the Lord for the original life. Original Christianity. I must say something so in this message. I must say some things. Because so many of you listening to me now, you are in this place, but you don't know anything about the reason why God raised up this ministry. Including, I am sorry, even some ministers. Even here, there are people that are here, sitting down here 10 years in this church, and you know no reason for why. You just look at a church. Oh, the pastor is very sincere. Now that place could be my church. Oh, that church. Prophets full there. They can stay there in case anything will happen. No, say they go see him. Oh, the reason I like this church, then they pray. Another one, the reason I like this church, their music, then they dance. Hey, that's the reason you come here. Any other thing happening here, you are strange. Very, very strange. Praise the Lord. We are in the restore ministry. It's a ministry of restoration. God came to open our eyes. We must be different from the denominational harlots. It's not only the anointing. People will come to Pride Assembly and see. They will come here and see Christ in demonstration. In the life that we live, we must practice this Bible. We must not only know it in the head, we must practice it. Some of you don't even know. Check generality of ministries worldwide. Let's come local, Nigeria here. Any church that a Yoruba man is the pastor, founder. Who are the members that fill that place? Yoruba. All the area zonal pastors, Yoruba. Even if the church is open in the east, they will send a Yoruba man to go and head it. If the leader is Igbo, like my brother near us here, 90% of the members there will be Igbos. Praise the Lord. People don't understand, and it is so everywhere. But this is the only church I have seen that who you call Hausa from the north is pastoring a church that 90% of the church members are another tribe, not his own tribe. And people are not knowing that it is God trying to make a statement that time has come for him to enforce the scripture that says, henceforth, know ye no man after the flesh. I am not to relate with you because of where you came from. Neither am I to give you any appointment in the office here because you are from my village. That type of Christianity is in the denomination. People don't understand what is going on. The revival is going on here, and they are wondering. They are thinking that it is the man is very strong, powerful. That's why people are coming. Which gift do I have? When I'm sitting down here, he caught a flyer. They look whether I'm a human being. This, I mean, that anointing, I don't have it.